Welcome to my podcast, New Dog, Now What? A podcast made especially for new dog owners. I'm Valerie Jane, and like thousands of others, I have recently welcomed a new dog into my world. I grew up with dogs, I love dogs, but this is the first time owning a dog myself, and there is so much to learn. Every episode, I get to welcome extraordinary, insightful experts to share information as we learn how to give our dogs the best possible lives. On today's episode, we welcome Dr. Kim Buchanan. Kim is a veterinarian practicing at Dundas West Animal Hospital in downtown Toronto. Like many of us, she has also recently welcomed a new pup into her world. We will discuss some very important topics when it comes to preventative care for our dogs, including core vaccinations, non-core vaccinations specific to your area, parasites and fleas, kennel cough, and much more. Kim, we are really excited to have you here today to talk about preventative care for our puppies.
Hi, thanks. Glad to be here.
It's a big world and there's so much to learn when it comes to preventative care. And we'll dive in and we'll talk about a number of different things. But I kind of want to start off with, one of the things that they say is the most important thing probably is just understanding your breed and kind of understanding those breed-specific illnesses or conditions. Wondering if you can share a little bit more about how to go about that and what that looks like.
Yeah, so I think when you dive into getting a dog, knowing their breed and knowing what breed dispositions they have is super important. Just to give you kind of some examples, Cavalier King Charles Spaniels, they are notorious for having heart disease. So I think that if you have a dog like that, having a conversation with your vet about things that you can do to monitor this, in terms of heart, we can do x-rays, echocardiograms, doing ultrasounds with the cardiologist. Those are all things that we can kind of do as preventative measures just to see if we start to notice something that we can act on it more quickly. Another big one is if you have an active breed. So I'll use a Labrador Retriever as my example, but I am biased because I have one sleeping here beside me. They will have joint disease. So knee injuries, cruciate ligament ruptures, osteoarthritis, those are kind of big things that they'll deal with throughout their lives. So starting off with joint supplements early on in their life, omega oils, glucosamine, that kind of thing. Even doing kind of x-rays to look at their hips. If you do get them from a breeder, making sure that mom and dad were screened for hip dysplasia, all those kinds of things. So I think it's worth a conversation with your vet when you go to see them, just to talk about kind of what that breed is susceptible to.
That's great advice. And yeah, there's every breed has different little intricacies and you need to know and watch for those things and prevent them. So that's good information.
Yes. Yeah.
Next up is, obviously vaccinations is the hottest word in the world right now. Yes. We're all talking about vaccinations and certainly, let's just talk about the basics. Why are they necessary and kind of how do they work?
Yeah, for sure. So vaccinations, most of them are going to be protecting the dogs against viruses. And as you know, with a current situation with the world, it's very hard to treat viruses once they have them. So the aim is to try and prevent them from getting the actual infection. And antibodies are very effective against stopping viral infections. So that's what vaccines are doing. They're giving the dog the antibodies towards these viruses so that if the viruses try and cause disease, they can't. The antibodies will just latch onto them. In terms of vaccines, there are core vaccines and then there's also non-core vaccines. So kind of the way that it's been organized is the core vaccines are basically viruses that are present everywhere in the world and that's recommended for all dogs to be vaccinated against. And then the non-core vaccines really just target more specific areas. And so your vet should be able to tell you if they should have additional vaccines, depending on the disease prevalence there. So core vaccines, you've got your, commonly people will abbreviate it to DAPP. So distemper virus, adenovirus, parvovirus and parainfluenza virus. Those are all viruses that are deadly, are fatal. So the vaccines are super effective against stopping them from causing disease. If you have a puppy, the way that vaccines have to go is we give them a dose of this vaccine every 3 to 4 weeks until they reach a certain age. So around the 16-week mark, sometimes we push it out further if they're in a very high risk area. But basically why we have to do these vaccines so frequently as puppies is because they still have their mom's antibodies running through the body. So, through all of the studies that we've done, we haven't been able to pick a certain age where all maternal antibodies will leave the body. So we have to kind of keep on giving them this vaccines, hoping that the maternal antibodies won't interfere. And then their own body can start making the memory cells and the antibodies towards these viruses. So that's kind of why it's a little bit of work when you first get a puppy, bringing them into the vet. You have to see us pretty frequently. But then thereafter, with that, you booster that vaccine a year from their last puppy booster. And then it's a 3-year vaccine thereafter. And then some people can do titers as well down the road when they're older, if they don't want to vaccinate every 3 years. The tricky part about measuring titers in the blood for these antibodies against the viruses is it won't predict when the antibodies run out of the body. It will just tell you on that day that we measured the blood, they had sufficient protection against the viruses. So just something to keep in mind. The other vaccine that is important and core for everywhere in the world is rabies vaccine. So the rabies disease is fatal and it is zoonotic. So infected dogs can pass it to humans, and it's fatal for humans as well. So it's quite a serious disease, and it's something that we take very seriously. It is law to keep your dog updated on rabies. With that vaccine, what we do with like the schedule for that is we give them just one dose of rabies vaccine when they're a puppy. They have to be over a certain age, and then we booster it a year from there, and then it's a 3-year vaccine from there on. There are 1-year and 3-year rabies vaccines out there, so it will just depend on what your vet clinic is carrying.
Okay. No, that's good information. Now, we're talking about new puppies. Yeah. So obviously, you know, our listeners are likely made up of a mix, right? We have people that have adopted a puppy. So what does that look like in that kind of vaccination care if we're adopting an older dog into our world?
So I guess with an older dog, yeah, it just depends, you know, what's their history. So if they have been vaccinated before, we just make sure that, first of all, that they have been properly boosted. So when they get over a certain age, they'd need 2 doses of the DAPP vaccine 3 to 4 weeks apart, and then a year after that, and then you can put them on the 3-year schedule. So I guess it all depends on their history, where were they, and have they gotten proper boosters before? If not, then yeah, your vet clinic will schedule all of that in.
Yeah, and really important for, you know, pet owners that maybe are looking at getting a dog is to ask those questions and make sure that that information is provided.
Exactly.
Right?
And if we don't know, like I have a rescue myself, if we don't know their history, we kind of just assume that they weren't properly vaccinated. It's not harmful to give them 2 doses if they had a dose a year before, that kind of thing. But it's just that added protection.
Okay. No, good information. So you talk about core. So we've kind of covered the core, and then there's all the other ones that, and you and I had chatted because I had actually got my puppy from one area of Canada and brought him to another area. So he wasn't vaccinated for one item that was specific to this region. So I'd love to talk to you about some of those other, other things, those other vaccinations that cover different areas.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. So leptospirosis is one that is a non-core vaccine, but is endemic in a lot of areas. So again, important to have that discussion with your owner and ask if leptospirosis is a disease you need to worry about. In Ontario, it absolutely is endemic, and we are recommending to vaccinate all of our dogs against it. So what leptospirosis is basically, it's a bacteria bacteria that wildlife mammals excrete in their urine. So most commonly raccoons, you know, squirrels, those kinds of guys, they will urinate into stagnant water or puddles. And then when your dog goes walking around licking the puddles or stepping in the puddles with their paws and then licking their paws, they can ingest this bacteria, and it will cause kidney and liver disease, quite serious disease. So it can be fatal, and they do have to have quite intensive treatment to get over it. So what we do to protect them against that is give them a vaccine. So kind of similar to the DAPP vaccine, they have to have two doses, 3 to 4 weeks apart, and then it's an annual vaccine thereafter. And it's very effective if they've had the vaccine.
Okay. Lyme disease, we're hearing more and more, obviously it's, you know, becoming more prevalent in people, mm-hmm. and that it's becoming more prevalent in puppies.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So I'm quite proud of the veterinary medicine world with how we're handling Lyme disease. We have good protection for dogs right now. So it's kind of a two-tiered system if you think about it. So the first is, we recommend, and again, check with your vet in your area about this, but we're seeing ticks in the winter now. They're able to use the snow as insulation and stick around when it's below freezing. So quite scary. But we just recommend that all of our dogs are on an oral preventative tablet once a month from, you know, December to May. And then we switch them to their heartworm medication that has tick prevention in there during the summer. But basically, if you can have them on that preventative, if a tick latches on, they do have to bite in order to die, because that's how the medication works. When the tick is feeding, the medication will kill them off. It's been shown that if they're on this oral prevention, the tick will die off before it can transmit any sort of disease. So your main tick-borne diseases are going to be Lyme disease, anaplasma, Ehrlichia, those kinds of things. So having them on an oral preventative, I would say, is the most important thing. In terms of Lyme disease, that's from a black-legged tick, and they are present in Ontario. I would say, you know, if you are in a hot spot, then the Lyme vaccine is an added layer of protection. And that's, again, same thing as leptospirosis. You give two doses 3 to 4 weeks apart, and then it's an annual vaccine thereafter. If they're on the tick prevention and you're not late with giving them any of their doses, that should be enough protection. But to have the Lyme vaccine, if you do miss a dose and you have been, you know, walking in the trails or that kind of thing, then that Lyme vaccine will basically kill off the tick or neutralize the bacteria that the tick is giving to the dog before it can cause actual Lyme disease.
Yeah, it's good information. I think people automatically think, like, you know, we're in a snow climate, so we think, mm-hmm. oh, spring, summer. But it is true. Like, our, you know, our winters are warmer, whether you're, you know, you're down in California or listening to this in Florida or wherever, a warmer climate, or Vancouver Island, it's, you know, it's 365. Yeah. And so that's really good information. You know, with regards to, and this is, I know this is a new one and there's not a lot of information, but I know there's been, you know, questions about coronavirus and, you know, what, is there a preventative for that? Is it something we should be worried about as pet owners? Can you offer any advice on that?
So I'll say, just kind of right off the bat, is we don't have strong evidence right now. It's such a novel virus that they are doing clinical trials and they're trying to figure out. But what the preliminary results have come out is that dogs are not known to be effective carriers of the coronavirus. So kind of just to break it down to the cellular level, the virus attaches onto an ACE receptor, and it's a very specific shape. And the dog's ACE receptor is actually a different shape from humans and cats. And so it doesn't bind onto that, the virus doesn't bind onto the receptor as effectively as it does for humans. So there hasn't been any studies right now to show that dogs are effective shedders of the virus. But like I said, that this is all just preliminary and we continue to do research. We continue to do surveillance. I would say if you have a true concern, if your dog seems sick, and has been in a COVID positive household, call your vet, let them know. And it's going to be a discussion, you know, do we think it could be another respiratory disease? Testing is, you know, we have to get approval for that right now. So yeah, it's going to be a conversation with your vet for sure.
Yeah, that's good advice. And I mean, it's just be smart. I mean, you know, wash your hands, be safe. And you're right. If you're in a household, definitely monitor and watch.
Like we've been doing for a full year now.
Right, exactly. Right. So, and what are some other core ones or outside core ones? So we've got Lyme, we've talked about leptospirosis. When it comes to, you know, parasites, for example, how do we treat something like
that? Yeah, so parasites is a whole different ballgame. Puppies, almost all puppies will have parasites. It's really just how well you deworm them. So puppies will get worms from their mother through the placenta, also through the milk. And they can also get parasites that are in the soils and that kind of thing. So how we have... how we kind of treat that is we do a fecal test. That's super important to make sure when you have your puppy visits with the vet to bring a fecal sample in. And we will test for all of the parasites. So roundworms, whipworms, hookworms, coccidia, giardia, all of those things. But we also do continue to deworm puppies basically about every 2 weeks until they reach a certain age. and that's more because some worms will have what's called intermittent shedding. So even if you have a negative fecal test, that worm can then shed on a different sample. So so tapeworms is a big one for that. So we'll just continue to treat them with a dewormer every 2 weeks until they get to a certain age. And then we put them on the schedule that adult dogs are on, which is like we were talking about, tick prevention throughout the year, tick and flea prevention throughout the year. And then when it gets to warmer months or if you live in a warmer climate, then you just stay on a monthly dewormer thereafter. I guess one thing is if your dog is going to be big into hunting, let us know because there are certain tapeworms that we do want to specifically treat for. And so that would be an additional dewormer or we might just have to change the medication that they're on.
Okay. And I've, you know, you mentioned a number of ones, but I've definitely heard Giardia. That one. Can you share a little bit more about it?
Yeah, so Giardia is an interesting parasite. There's a lot of talk right now on how to treat it. Looking at the human medicine, Giardia, we're starting to see antibiotic resistance in some parts of the world. So whenever we see that as vets, we do get worried and we have to make sure we're doing responsible antibiotic stewardship and using antibiotics when we think are absolutely necessary. You know, there's no set protocol on how to treat Giardia. There's a couple of antibiotics that have been shown to be mostly effective. So your vet will probably have their own protocol there. But basically with, I guess, just to talk about the fecal test, what can happen is your dog can come back positive for Giardia antigen or Giardia cysts or both. So just to break that down, the Giardia antigen just means that there's DNA of that worm within the body or the intestines. It does not indicate if there's an active or an inactive infection. So you know, if they did actually get over Giardia themselves and they're just kind of, you know, shedding the rest of the dead parasite, then they can be positive for the Giardia antigen. What indicates if there is an active infection, so live adults in the intestines shedding out eggs, is when we see Giardia cysts. And those are their eggs. And basically what can happen is, when they get shed in the poop, they can also latch on to the hairs around the bum area. And when the dog goes to groom themselves, that's how they can cause reinfection. So with Giardia treatment, we aim to treat if they are clinical for it, if we're just seeing the antigen, because then that suggests to us that maybe there is an active infection, or if we're seeing the cyst, we'll also treat with antibiotics. And, you know, it's not uncommon to have to do multiple rounds of Giardia treatment because it is a stubborn parasite to get rid of. Another thing I think is super important is you know, environmental control and how we're managing our puppies through the treatment. So we recommend that when they're on the antibiotic for however many days of treatment, if they're on a longer period of antibiotics, we say to give them baths on the end days of treatments, or if it's a short treatment like 3 days, then just to give them baths on each day. And the reason why we say that is so that you can wash off potential cysts that are stuck onto the bum hairs in the back there so that they can't reinfect themselves. The other thing to know is that it can be potentially zoonotic, but all of the studies they've shown, the common types of Giardia that dogs carry are not the types that infect humans. So it's unlikely, but it's something to consider. So if someone in your household is immunocompromised, or you're really worried about it, then, you know, you can go as far as testing the types of the Giardia to see if it's something that would affect humans. But just by, you know, picking up poop, you know, without your hands and washing your hands after walks and just keeping up with hygiene that way, then you'll be safe. The other thing to mention, yeah. And I recommend this really for all puppies, is it's a good idea to be on a probiotic when they're young. They did a couple of studies with some of the probiotics, even just with the vaccine series. And what they did was in shelters, they gave puppies their vaccine series, but then also another group of puppies with a probiotic once daily. And they found that the puppies that had the probiotic on board actually developed more antibodies towards the viruses that we were vaccinating against. So kind of just shows you that probiotics really help to boost their immune system. And you can also translate that into their parasitic infections too, right? So their immune system is going to be down when they're fighting a parasite infection. And so if we can just stabilize that gut biome with the healthy probiotics that we want to see, then we can help them fight off these infections.
Yeah, really important. I've got my puppy on probiotics. And is it something that you keep them on for their entire lifetime, or is there kind of a recommended period? Because obviously when they're so little, there's, like you said, there's puppy sensitivity.
Yeah, I mean, I think that as a puppy, keeping them on probiotics until they're at least 6 months. You can even go a little bit further. You know, just during their vaccine series and while they're getting dewormed, I think that's the critical period. I don't necessarily know if you'd think that adult dogs have to be on a probiotic daily. However, there is indication for some dogs to be on it long term. So those are your dogs with intestinal disease, autoimmune conditions, skin disease. So again, another good conversation to bring up with your vet.
Yeah, it's great. And you know, yes, Buddha loves it. He goes right on his food.
It's a like powder, a treat.
And It's yeah, dinner time yeah. excitement. So
the cherry on top.
I love it. So one of the things that I did want to talk about and kind of get into, it's really concerning because coming up, we're hearing it's prevalent in a number of cities, mm-hmm. is kennel cough. And learning a little bit more, wondering if you can share a little bit more about what is it and why is it so dangerous?
So, okay, kennel cough is caused by the Bordetella virus. So the Bordetella virus is something that, or is a pathogen that targets the respiratory cells or the lung cells. And actually cats can get it too, very prevalent in dogs. But what can happen with the Bordetella virus is it can become part of something more serious. So something called canine infectious respiratory disease, where it becomes this complex of many different pathogens. So kind of just to scale it back, Bordetella virus, if it's just that infection, primary infection, dogs actually can get over that. It is what's called a self-limiting condition. So usually within 14 days, you know, dogs will have this cough, but that's about it. They're not tired or lethargic. They're eating and drinking well. They're otherwise acting normally. That is, you know, and obviously an exam with your vet to decide if there's any fever or what do their lungs sound like, that kind of thing. A simple infection dogs can get over. How do they get the infection is through spread of the virus through secretions. So saliva, nasal discharge, that kind of thing. And they'll get it from an infected dog. So, you know, coughing dogs should not be at the dog park. They shouldn't go to daycare, that kind of thing, because they could be potentially infectious. if, you know, there are the chances that the Bordetella virus will cause disease, but then also allow for what's called opportunistic pathogens to start causing disease as well. And those are the ones that we worry about. So Streptococcus, those kinds of bacteria. Once an infection is made and they start to cause infection too, that's where it can progress into something called pneumonia. Pneumonia is a serious condition in dogs. Oftentimes, so it's diagnosed by x-rays. They oftentimes have to be hospitalized on IV fluids with IV antibiotics. If they do well, then they can get discharged from the hospital and go home with oral antibiotics. But often they have to be on these antibiotics for long periods of time. So I guess, you know, thinking about it, the kennel cough, there is a vaccine against the kennel cough. It can be given through the nose, under the skin, so subcutaneously, or through the mouth. And it's not a core vaccine. So, you know, it is an optional one. Because we were seeing a lot of kennel cough cases progressing into pneumonia, and probably because of those secondary bacteria, I think it is a good idea to get your dog vaccinated against the kennel cough, because it can decrease the severity of the disease. I mean, it can also decrease the time they have the cough for. So, you know, instead of 2 weeks, maybe it's just for 4 days kind of thing. So I would do it. If you could, I would get your dog vaccinated against kennel cough.
Yeah, absolutely. We're hearing about it coming from, yes. You mentioned dog parks used to be like rolling through dog parks, and also obviously kennel cough. So if you're leaving your dog to go away and putting them in a kennel, I think there's a number of ways that they can get it. So why not do it? Even it's non-core, it doesn't hurt, and it's exactly. It's preventative. When it comes to other non-core, are there other ones that you might recommend? You know, whether we're in a warm climate or in a cold climate, or are there some that you've seen that are,
you know,
more prevalent?
I think that we have covered basically all of them. So leptospirosis, Lyme disease, kennel cough. Those are really what we have. In other areas, there's like the influenza virus, but we don't really recommend doing that vaccine unless you're going to an area that's endemic for that. So again, just another conversation with your vet. If you're going to be traveling, super important to one, touch base with the country. So they should have an importation office and ask them, you know, does my dog need to be vaccinated against any particular diseases? What are the recommendations? A lot of countries require different, but specific deworming schedules as well. So it's all about knowing your area and what diseases are there.
You know, we've covered so much stuff, and everything that you've talked about today is so important. And I think, you know, what we can say is, you know, it's those routine checkups, and your vet is there to
yes.
guide you and help you. Thank you so much for your insight today. And I hope that, you know, some people are learning from this and going and having good discussions with their vets and making sure that they've got some
yeah,
good plans.
Yeah, exactly. I hope this is helpful. And yeah, just like you said, talk to your vet. They're there to help you.
Thanks for listening to this episode of New Dog, Now What? If you know someone with a new dog in their life, please be sure to share this episode with them and follow along on Instagram @newdoglifeca. Thanks for joining.